delighted to introduce Cindy.
Thank you, thank you. It's very nice to be here. I started OA way back in 1982 by going to a meeting in South Bellevue. It was on Bellevue Way, and it was at a church. I don't remember what the denomination was, but that's where I started. And I fortunately was young when I came in. I was 24, I think, at the time, and that was great that my suffering, I began to have sort of issues with my particular sort of version of or brand of compulsive overeating when I was about 15. And so, you know, grateful that, you know, I found it back then, and grateful that I got it, even though I didn't think I could get it, and that it seemed that it was more about, in some respects, letting go of, you know, the mental gymnastics and push, and self-propulsion, and that I actually could let go of that. And to me, it was sort of like trying less hard, that a lot of it for me was mentally trying too hard to make things fall into place, to be who I thought I should be, to perform the way I thought others wanted me to perform. So for me, I think I heard when I got into the program. Oh, and John, just to be sure I know, do I have about 20 minutes to share? Would you let me know when, like, I'm at the halfway point, and then also when I have 5 minutes left? If I can balance it out that way. So when people, you know, oftentimes when OA, we start our stories, we qualify. And my sort of qualifications, you know, who I am, you know, obviously I'm a compulsive overeater, and how long I've been in the program, how long I've been abstinent, and perhaps, you know, how much weight I've lost. And for me, if I qualify for you, I would say I've been in the program 36 years. I've been abstinent most of that time, imperfectly abstinent. My weight has stayed the same, and I'm alive today because of the program. And that's a big one for me, because I am a recovering bulimic. That's my profile. So what people saw was a fairly normal person, but the unmanageability of the binging and then switching to restricting and the constant weighing, using the scale to really tell me if I was, you know, worthwhile or not. The horrible isolation. I was taking some notes about what I might want to share, and it popped into my head, and I forget this because, you know, it's been a while since things were really bad for me with my food, and it felt so out of control. But I felt so physically ill after a binge. Just, I would pile in as much as I could, and it felt like I would pass out. And then I would get up the next morning. I would check out, meaning I wouldn't show up for whatever it was that I was supposed to do. And I would check out, get up the next morning, I'd use coffee, I think it was Excedrin at the time, go out and exercise, do whatever I could to get, you know, feel better, because I felt so ill. So that was my pattern. And I, through the program, the wonderful thing about it is that I learned, you know, I just thought that I couldn't control my relationship with food. It meant everything to me. It was the best sedative in the world. It just knocked me out. Anything I didn't want to feel, anything that bothered me, I could just, you know, knock it out with food. And I grew up in a family where feelings were not felt. And so I, you know, believed that I didn't have permission to feel. So what was I supposed to do when those feelings came up? And I hadn't heard of, you know, various forms of eating disorders. I just started to suck those feelings. And it just, you know, got worse and worse and worse for me. So it really was kind of a perfect storm for me, in terms of afraid to feel, stopped feeling. I was a performer. My family, you know, was all about performance, not just sort of being. I was in a sport in high school that really emphasized being, you know, as thin as possible. So the perfect storm came together, and I graduated from high school. I was scared to death to take the next step. I didn't know what it looked like. I was afraid of it. And all that stuff came together, and I completely fell apart. Just completely fell apart. I was so afraid of life, very suicidal, couldn't stop eating. You know, that was my bottom. And then, you know, fortunately, I came into OA, and it was really about working. Well, the first thing I have to say about this great meeting I went to in South Bellevue was there was a lot of laughter in that meeting, and I was so serious about you know, myself, and I felt so much shame about this strange stuff I did with food. To be with a group of people who seemed to, you know, say some things I'd never heard before beyond just a diet plan, that their lives were changing, and also to laugh about, you know, the funny predicaments that we find ourselves in was, for a serious, you know, young woman like me, was just really, really helpful. I can't remember. I remember what I was going to say is I didn't have a super structured walking through the steps one-on-one with a sponsor until a few years later. But I do remember, you know, my ears were open and I was hearing things, and I would just show up and I was very aware of how different this was from, you know, anything else. I remember I was scared to death to share my first time, and that felt it was important that I did so, and I finally just said something like maybe just introduce myself, and, you know, said maybe I'd heard someone else say, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so, a compulsive overeater, and I just wanted to let you know I'm here, because I just wanted people to know I'm here, and I'm really in pain with this disease. So, but I remember I heard a term early on. I was so afraid I couldn't get the higher power thing. I was so afraid I would not be able to get it. And I heard people say, well, just act as if you have it. And that was really helpful for me. Okay, I can do that. I can, even though I don't, you know what it feels like, what it is, if I have it, if I don't have it, I'll just kind of act as if. And so that was helpful for me, just kind of acting as if until I actually had it. I really, again, I mentioned I walked through my steps with in another city. Actually, it was in Las Vegas, Nevada. My husband and I had moved there, and connected with a person who was very active in the program. She was maybe about my mom's age at the time, but you know, different, because I felt she was like my mom, that wouldn't have worked for me. So she took me through. I think this was before the OA 12 and 12 had even been published. So she took me through. I want to say it was the AA 12 and 12, and then the Big Book. She was very kind. I met at her house. She would make me soup. So I felt, you know, I felt just that love that you hear people talk about, you know, in the program. That was really important to me. You know, did my fourth step with her, you know, did it all. And, you know, since then, and people will tell you, you know, gosh, you go through steps again, you know, many times. And I know that's been true for me. And that's a message that I think is important. And we talk about, you know, the Big Book talks about progress, not perfection. And for me, you know, number one perfectionist, I needed to practice progress and have it be good enough. And I think for me, I like to see people just, you know, be encouraged to walk through the steps. It doesn't have to be perfect, because gosh darn it, if you stick with the program, you're going to be going through them again. And I think that that's something that has helped me a lot. And I think in a lot of compulsive overeaters, a real tendency to beat oneself up. And I know I did. And so progress, not perfection. I have made a lot of progress in this program, not doing it perfectly. A ton. Is that my
sentence?
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, that's good. So I just know for me, and when I work with people and I see that, you know, beating oneself up, I'm reminded of a couple places in the Big Book where it tells us actually that's not productive. Pride in Reverse comes to mind, and something else I'm not going to remember. But when I saw that the Big Book recommended against that approach to my recovery, I stopped doing it. It was very helpful to me. I thought I'd talk about a few aha moments that I've had in the program over the years. And they stuck with me. They're pictures that I have in my mind. One I mentioned was just the grabbing onto that act as if. I remember, and some of you who have lived in, you know, Bellevue a long time and are about my age, you know, the old, I don't remember the name of it, but the old, you know, tunnel before I-90 became what I-90 is now. I remember driving into Seattle from the east side. There was this art, you know, the arch, and then you have, I think, the Pacific Northwest Indian totem pole designs on the stone and that kind of thing. And for some reason, as soon as I was going through that tunnel and I had my aha moment was, that, you know, I think the message I'm getting here is that I can relax and take it easy. That, so to speak, I can let go of my fear of the results, because I can leave the results up to my higher power. That was huge for me, because I was so afraid of how things would turn out. I would just get right smack into the food. I just could not. I just I could not hang in there for fear that things would not turn out the way I thought they should in my head. So that was a big one for me. Spiritual awakening for me is another aha. So many of you have probably read the appendices in the back of the big book. One of them is about spiritual awakening. And it talks about sort of the burning, sort of the instantaneous aha moment. You know, the sun comes out. I sense this sort of higher power. And for me, it was a spiritual awakening of the educational variety. And that sort of meant that it just came gradually, just by kind of focusing on the present, doing the daily things that my sponsor and that I heard others in the program do, that all of a sudden one day I would look back and realize that I was different, realize that I had a belief in that higher power. I had a belief in a power who could do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And so that was a real aha for me also. And since that time, I can't really tell you, I do have a strong relationship with my higher power. And I like that in our program and in the mother program that it's a higher power of our understanding, of my understanding. And I think that makes the program, you know, all-inclusive for any one of us. I just knew that because I was, you know, powerless, that I needed to cultivate this power. So I did it by acting as if, and just that daily discipline of the weekly disciplines, whatever they are, of showing up for meetings, doing a little bit of service, working through the steps with a sponsor, and just having the faith that, you know, the miracles of this program would come, and they did. And, you know, the other thing for me, too, that I don't like to lose sight of is that, you know, the big book in our literature, our OA literature, tells us that we don't have to spend, so 5 minutes left, right? We don't have to spend the rest of our lives white-knuckling, you know, the food stuff, that through the work of the steps, we are relieved of the compulsions. And, you know, that is a great thing. I mean, that's a heck of a lot better than going on and off diets. So I guess I would say, since I have 5 minutes left, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, again, I always was looking for the, you know, the, sort of the big things that would happen in this program. And they did happen, but it was because I did the little things, just the daily things. And I didn't have to will the program to happen or, you know, hope for some big, you know, just big event to happen. It came eventually when I was really not even aware that it had. And things got, you know, got a lot easier. I was willing to, you know, stay out in the world and not have to, you know, run away from it and binge, because I was just more comfortable in my skin and in my space. But, you know, to keep it for me, it's, you know, the daily things that so many of us do. I have a close relationship with my higher power because I work on that relationship every day. We talk every day. I talked in the car, you know, with my higher power on the way down, and said, "You know, just help me say something that somebody here will, I hope feel is helpful." Gosh, I need my higher power, because whenever I get scared and I, you know, fear's been my number one thing, I need to just surrender it all and just know, you know what, Cindy, you're a worrywart, and probably everything is just gonna work out okay. And so, you know, I turn it over. A lot of the character defects I have, not a lot of them, but some of them I still have. I need to practice, you know, sometimes my head can get too big, you know, in little ways. And I have to, just kind of step back from that. I do practice gratitude, because sometimes I think, oh, my life is boring. Oh, you know, I don't have what I want, Oh, you know, whatever. There's always something wrong, because I tend to be a negative thinker. And that's another thing that, that the program has really helped me with. Just practicing gratitude. You know, I have what I need. And, you know, I'm still a work in progress. But I just can't emphasize, for me, it was a food problem, but it was really, really much, much more a living problem. And so that's why I think OA is so unique, that we really get freedom from all those things that were just, that just caused me to eat. And just caused me to stay in the food and caused me to isolate. So, again, progress, not perfection. One day at a time. Stick with the winners is one I would hear. But it's not magic. It does take discipline, but, I don't know. It's you know, just a wonderful thing. So I guess that's all I have. Thank you.